welcome to Live from the Treehouse. We are in the friendly confines of Clarkston, Georgia, at my apartment. This is DJ Motherfucker, also known as Chuck Delma, also known as Fresh, also known as Eastside Sky, also known as Invictus, also known as Sky, also known as Wild Child, Knucklehead by my parents, but you can call me Josh. To my left, I have the good brother. I'll let him take over from here.
Oh, that's me. I'm to your left. That's right. I was trying to figure out which one.
Put down the blue moon, brother.
Gotta put down the blue moon, but y'all already know who it is. It's the boy, the POP, Prince of Podcast, your boy Juice in the building. I'm going to hold it down today. Y'all already know what's happening.
It's your boy Stroud, Official Stroud on all socials, Official Stroud, and DJ Strizzy. Yes, sir.
Pastor. Also, happy birthday, belated birthday to the one DJ Strizzy. Now, his birthday was yesterday. Today, we're filming on a Monday. Yesterday was April the 12th, so happy birthday. Welcome to the 30 Club. I think you'll enjoy it. You seem to be someone who really doesn't give too much of a fuck, but I feel like you'll double down on those efforts in your 30s. It's a very liberating age. And also, my birthday is on Friday, April 17th, so it's a lot of birthdays going on.
It remains our time for a
lot of season on this here.
A lot of season.
Nah, I ain't too far behind, but I'm still in my 20s, man. I can't say that I'm in my 30s yet.
Go get some lotteries now.
I'm still in there.
Put a little lotteries on, some onion powder. We'll season you up a little bit, dude. Ain't nothing wrong with that.
I'm on the clock, though.
Prince of Podcast, you're on the clock.
I'm on the clock, Nick.
All right, now, let's go ahead and get into it. We are filming in Atlanta. We are Atlanta people, so Waffle House holds a near and dear spot in our lives. But
yes, sir.
Due to the COVID pandemic, apparently some things have been a little different at the House of Waffles. They sold out of their waffle mix in a few hours, which is pretty much like KFC running out of chicken, or Chick-fil-A running out of Christianity. So it's really, does anybody have a lot of information on it and kind of explain what happened?
With this whole thing going on, people not being able to really go to Waffle House and sit down and eat inside, Waffle House, the corporation, decided to put their waffle mix online for sale, actually. And within a couple hours of it being out, it actually sold out. So that's crazy. But like you said, it definitely holds a dear spot in our hearts here. And I want to ask y'all, what is y'all favorite thing to get when you go to Waffle House? What's your number one item on the menu that drunk you just got to have? Let's go drunk.
I'm going to go with a pork chop dinner.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, that's a fat boy plate.
Yeah. It comes with two chops. I want the salad with, I want some onions, some cheese, some tomatoes chopped up in it, mm-hmm, with a double hash brown.
Okay. Anything in the hash browns or just?
Scattered.
Okay.
Smothered. Mm-hmm. Covered. And chunked,
okay.
Well, I've had to say my favorite thing is sanitized or the silverware. That's probably my favorite thing to get. They burst out the hot cup. I like that silverware.
A cup
of hot water is my favorite thing. But my second favorite thing is, for those of you who don't know, I've given up the swine, the bird, so I really can't really eat too many of the meat options. So at this point, my favorite thing to get is usually some hash browns. I would say back when I did indulge in the swine, I used to love giving me an All-Star.
Back in the day, boy.
All-Star undefeated.
Oh, All-Star undefeated. The thing is, I used to not eat the waffle until I got to the crib. I treat it like a dessert. You know what I'm saying? Because everything else, I don't know, I'm weird. I don't like mixing the sweet stuff with the salty stuff. So I have my eggs, my hash brown, grits, what have you, and I eat the waffle, a little bit later on while I donated. But I would say All-Star is undefeated, but nowadays, I'll probably just go get some hash browns, maybe some grits. I'm very particular about my eggs. And like I said, it's hard enough to just get some hot water that's going to sanitize the silverware. So I don't try to push my luck, but I'll say All-Star is classic. Like you said, you can't go wrong. But there's also chicken and eggs. You just get two pieces of chicken. It's pretty much an All-Star. Instead of getting a waffle, you just get a biscuit. It's like you can get two pieces of chicken. So it's on the smaller menu. You got to ask for the smaller menu. A lot of folks don't know.
A lot of folks don't know. But for me, I would say it's got to be that patty melt, dog.
Ooh, I know exactly what you're talking about.
Gotta have that patty melt, man. It's undefeated. Ooh, that patty melt. And see,
you get anything with it?
Get the patty melt meal, man. You gotta have that. Egg, scrambled cheese, they come with hash brown.
How they call out the order whenever? Scattered, covered in chunk.
Dropping
patty melt.
Just drop them.
I need patty melt meat. Damn.
Now with be a country ass white lady.
And hell, if they run out of waffle, they use enough fucking waffle mix. You really just scoop me a little whatever coming off the excess off the side, because you know
they always get shit off.
Dr. Sebi said that half of the waffles that we eat usually come from the excess. You know what I'm saying? It's not a fresh pour. You know what I'm saying?
It's definitely not a fresh pour.
I prefer French toast over waffles, though. I don't know about y'all.
They got French toast at
Waffles? No, I'm just saying, like, in general. I prefer French toast.
I like waffles. I just don't have them a whole lot. But I do like a big-ass fluffy waffle. French toast cool. But then, you know what I'm saying?
From Shoney's. I fuck with you with the French toast sticks.
The sticks. Oh. Now, I fuck with the French toast sticks. But the actual French toast, that's kind of hit and miss. Because it ain't quite enough. I don't know. It's hard to explain.
Yeah.
Hard to explain. But, very funny that they ran out of that. Like I said, the COVID is pushing us to in foreign territory. So, it's very, very different. And speaking of foreign territory, a lot of people have lost their main, revenue stream. Means of making an income, so people are turning to alternative and creative ways to maintain a certain lifestyle, make sure bills are paid. I can't knock the hustle, get how you live. So I'm sure that we're all well versed in this little thing called OnlyFans.
I don't think I've never heard of that.
You've never heard of OnlyFans?
Why don't you go ahead and give them a brief recap?
I feel like I'm explaining.
If you don't know, now you.
Hide the children, hide the below 18s, but it's kind of like with the birds and the bees. When a man gets lonely, or a woman gets lonely, there's a little website called OnlyFans. For $9.99, you can have all of your sexual desires, dreams, fantasies played out on an auto debit system, depending on who you actually follow. And it is a different form of, if you guys know Backpages, but, pretty much from the beginning of time, people have always found different ways to sell sex as an income, as a revenue stream. So one of the questions that, we kind of broached during this time is that if you were dating somebody or someone in your life, they lost their job, unfortunately, things happen, and they mentioned that, hey, I'm going to turn, it doesn't necessarily be, your significant other, but it would be, friends, family, whoever. If they said that I'm going to turn to OnlyFans, I'm going to do an OnlyFans page just so I can have some quick revenue, just something to come on in, would you be comfortable with that? Is that something that you would be comfortable with if your significant other or just a friend was like, hey, I lost my job, they're cutting hours, I'm going to start my OnlyFans page, I'm going to, pretty much show what you got to show. Would you be comfortable in a situation like that? If there's no other, because you really can't, you could Uber, you could do things of that nature, but because the demand is so low at this point.
Right.
It's really kind of hard to get, a foothold on that. But OnlyFans, you really just need an iPhone and some imagination.
Pretty much.
Space and
opportunity. You kind of figure out the rest. So we'll start with DJ Strizzy. Is that something you'd be comfortable with?
Well, it's a no for me, dog. I'm sorry.
Is it a hard no or negotiable no?
Unless you finna just have a second answer, you better get your ass an Instagram page.
Well, you really can't monetize that.
I understand that. So my point is, no, if you fall on hard times, then you know what I'm saying?
You just fall.
Depending on where we are in a relationship, you know what I'm saying? I'm going to always be there for you, but like not the whole time. You're going to have to find something else to do, but it ain't going to be OnlyFans.
Now, let's say this is your wife.
Okay.
And let's say that she, her job before they let her off, or they completely cut her hours to basically she's.
It's even more of a no then.
So if it's your wife, it's complete no.
It's negotiable.
Even though it is literally from the comfort of your house, she don't go outside, she doesn't see other people, she literally is recording in your bedroom, not even in the bedroom, just say a spare room, records what she got to record, put it up there, and let's say she was like, well, she comes to you and says, hey, I have 150 subscribers, all of them for $10 a month.
No.
I'm making...
Still no?
It's a no.
$15K a day.
Selling.
$15K a day.
I don't leave.
$15K a day.
You said
$15K. Yeah, you said $15K a day.
Oh, he's Trizzy's face now.
No, I think it's still a no because I feel like hopefully by the time I'm married, I want to be able to, us to be in a really good financial situation where if one of us were to lose our jobs, we've already kind of been working towards some type of plan for that. So
y'all got a couple dollars stashed away,
right? So yeah, it's still a no. It's gonna always be a no.
Okay.
Say okay. Well, now I'm gonna throw another wrench at you. I'm gonna throw something else in the hat. Okay, what if you didn't know and you just so happened to be perusing and stumbled upon a page, but it was locked, so you had to actually pay to see if and what was going on, and you just
and it's
up.
It's my wife.
Yes. That's and she good. Didn't tell you nothing about it. You don't know nothing about it. Or it could be old or it could be new. You don't know. That's but you gotta
divorce vibes.
Yeah. Mm. That'd be over. It'd be over with.
Like, to me, that's a bit like, you know, communication and trust, or they go hand in hand. If you're not communicating shit like that, to me, like, as my wife, I'm looking at you as my, like, I'm the only eyes that's going to be on you. You right. just for me. So if I find, it's even worse if I find it. You know what I'm saying? So, I don't know. That's how I feel about it.
So that is, so you pretty much put, I would say in a lot of ways in the relationship, sex is very much is exclusive for you. So yeah. basically you have no, you know, I have no idea of her expressing herself sexually at that level for the outside
world.
Be
a, it would be a better conversation or a better question is if we're going to do OnlyFans together.
Together.
You know what I'm saying? Now, I might be open to that.
So y'all like y'all fucking together. Oh, okay.
We can make this money together. Okay. You know what I'm saying? You can keep the shit, but you know what I'm saying? You're not finna be just out here.
But what if she come to you and say, well, we don't, a lot of the fans are saying that they only just want to see me on.
they said, baby, we got some reviews. And they said, less of him, more of her.
That sound like a disabled account.
Okay. Gonna shut it down. Cause see, I tried the little shit.
Start a whole account a week.
But you make it 30 bands a day. So I mean,
they gonna repo the Bentley.
You gonna have to pray. It gonna be me or OnlyFans.
No, it's gonna be your car note too. Looking at you like, for real.
I don't have a say.
Go send back the G-Way.
Go ahead, put back the Bentley now.
There was a lot of scenarios.
I know. That
took me through the whole time.
I'm sorry, brother. I just know my answers are limited. So I couldn't really. I was thinking about all the things that I would say, and you did a hell of a job.
Yeah. Right. Now, this is like you said. Feel free to come and go as you please, but you know, if you misstay for a little longer because of certain answers, brother, we have two couches. We have, you know, we can make accommodations. But
this is make for good conversation.
No, this will be a talking point later. But I would say personally, it you have to have a very, very honest conversation about, you know, both of you guys' idea about what sex looks like in a relationship. Some people are very comfortable being expressive, like, you know, you hear different people, whatever you're into, you kind of, you know, it is what it is. But if that's the only viable means of income, you know, that's something you got to talk about, because if they're not doing anything out of character, meaning they're not, you know, inviting nobody else to come to the crib, they're not doing anything inappropriate except for just, you know, filming themselves doing whatever, that's a conversation you have to have. I honestly don't have an answer for it. You know, I would say no if I'm married, because I do agree with Stride that, you know, that's my wife, that's just for me to see. Same token, though, if you got to be real honest in the relationship, you know, depending on what y'all have done in the past, have you had that conversation? So, and also, this is a generational pandemic. We've never dealt with something where, you know, seemingly within hours, days, it seemed like your income just got slashed, just like that. Not something related to the, you know, stocks or anything you could see coming. It was literally just, you know, this type of viral pandemic. So it's, I really don't have an answer for you, brothers. We'll have to play it by ear, and whoever ends up being Miss Fresh, well, you know, we'll have to cross that river.
Feel like OnlyFans is a very, it's a provocative space, meaning that, like, you may go into it with the intentions of, like, oh, I need to make a couple dollars, and then you realize how much you make, and then it's like, okay, well, now I'm open to things that originally I was not open to, and it can
put
grow.
A carrot in your ass. I give you.
That's why it's a hard no for me, because it's like, what is this going? Like, what is this going to grow into?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? But
hey. Care's ass paid for the Cabo vacay. I'm just saying. But no, I guess, and this is, I guess we can offshoot for this one and move on. But so, I guess another question is: would you feel comfortable dating someone who's in the sex industry?
I was going to ask y'all that.
Beyond OnlyFans, let's say they were a stripper. Let's say if there were someone who worked maybe in doing, you know, I don't know if it's female reviews or anything like that. But you know, someone who's in the sex industry, they're very loyal. They're all this type of good stuff. But at the end of the day, that's how they made the income. They're quite skilled at it, and they've been doing it for a while.
Yeah. Mm.
So would you feel comfortable, let's just say stripper, because everybody knows the strippers, would you feel comfortable dating a stripper, someone who is proving themselves to be loyal, have your best interest at heart, but they've been doing it for a while, and this is their method of income?
I think it depends on the type of conversations you're having with that person, meaning that, you know, if that person was doing that before y'all got serious, then... Right. And you find out later, you obviously have the decision to make. But like, are you doing this to, what are your intentions behind doing this? Like, do you, I don't think it's nothing wrong with working in the sex industry. You know what I'm saying? I just feel like at some point you should want to have your own group of people who working from your platform. Like, this is your, these are your people. You know what I'm saying? You should want to get yourself out of it and like kind of help people who also want to do that.
Under your umbrella. So basically, if you're a stripper, it's fine just to be at that point at one point, but you would look for them to either get their own club, or kind of get their own type of entertainment. Right. You know,
they don't have to be like in the line.
They don't have to be the head.
Right. You know, they're making the money though.
They got to be the talent. They can more or less be, you know, behind the scenes and stuff. Yeah. Okay, I feel it. I dig it. Well, we'll talk about someone who definitely wasn't behind the scenes. Was Miss Yaya Mayweather. For those of you who've been, boy, she was front line. She was top sergeant. And,
she did anything.
Boy, she bad about it. she partially though. You know, OnlyFans might be a little more lucrative and kept her out in some trouble. But for those who don't know, NBA young boy, not National Basketball Association young boy, but never broke again young boy, has been. I really don't know how to describe it, but him and Yaya Mayweather have been involved in some type of relationship. Word on the street. Word on Instagram is that she stabbed one of, I believe, NBA young boys, one of her, you know, baby mamas, and apparently killed the child that I guess she was pregnant, and apparently killed the stab was so severe, the attack was so severe, the child was lost, which is very, you know, devastating to hear. And you're seeing that she's going to be up to facing 99 years just because of this assault. And it's a strange situation because... you know, NBA Youngboy is an up-and-coming rapper. I mean, he's got some notoriety, but he's definitely very early in his career. But Yaya Mayweather's been, you know, her father is Floyd Mayweather, the legendary boxer. They, I mean, you know, money team, you know what I'm saying? they've had means their entire life.
Right.
So she literally has no reason to even lift her finger in any type of malicious or violent way.
Right.
So what are you guys' thoughts about, you know, I guess more or less, quote-unquote, the ride-or-die person? Even if they come from, you know, blessed means, they come from, you know, not a hard scrabble life at all, and they basically have, you know, whatever they need in their life that's at their fingertips, and they get involved with somebody who might have a more violent past, is kind of coming up, is kind of a little on shakier grounds. Yeah. What is your opinion on the ride or die in that situation? Like, what would you have done in a situation like that?
I think that's the classic tale of just... sheltered life, you know what I'm saying? When you're sheltered, right. And
you don't know
I say for females, you see it a lot. It's even portrayed in movies. ATL, would you know, Nunu, if you haven't seen ATL, what the hell are you doing? Well, Nunu, she was, her parents were rich, well off, but she still wanted to portray that hood, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Just be around that lifestyle. And, you know, not necessarily everything is bad from the hood, but I mean, I feel like when you live in a certain life and you go and put yourself in a different situation where you don't know what's going on in these people's everyday life, sometimes you can get trapped within that. And when you do, you're looking up to 99 years. Yaya Mayweather, you know, I guess she's trying to prove herself and prove that, you know, just because I have this money, just because I'm from this, I can still be this, I can still be that. And I guess this is just a... worst case scenario for her, because I mean, when you out there trying to prove yourself and be this and be that, now you're looking at, you know,
first of your life in jail.
Yeah,
maybe you can,
your future is gone.
Yeah,
stab somebody in jail, see how that goes for you. Yeah, but no. I, you know, to piggyback off what you were saying, I just feel like, you know, you do see that a lot with people who are celebrities and people who are, you know, more financially stable, like in a very, you know, extreme way, like Yaya Mayweather, where, you know, they are sheltered, but then they don't understand, like, everybody makes decisions and choices, and
absolutely,
you have to, everybody, young, old, you know, rich, poor, you have to be held accountable for the decisions that you make.
Mm-hmm.
So if you killed a baby, that's serious. You know what I'm saying? Like, and you did it, you might not have done it intentionally, but, you know, your intentions, sometimes your intentions don't add up with what actually happens.
Right.
And so you have to be held accountable for that. So I feel like, you know, it's a life lesson that she got to learn. And if she ends up in jail for 99 years, and that's just unfortunate, and maybe... you know, with her, you know, her background, you know, her dad being a boxer or whatever, they'll be able to, you know, maybe sign a deal or something. Who knows? Money buys influence, but mm-hmm. she still has to be held for accountable for her decisions.
Here's my thing. Like, when you do stuff like that, of course, I mean, you know, there's consequences. But now, like, NBA Youngboy, like, you got to know he just going to move on. I mean, this is, you know what I'm saying? That's just a part of the lifestyle that he lived. Mm-hmm. I mean, you got caught, you did this, you did that. I mean, he could be saying one thing to her, and it'd be a total, something totally different. Yeah, you know what absolutely. I'm saying? And one thing you have to realize that once you out here living this fake life, and you living this, and you living like that, if someone actually living that life, and I mean, they can't turn the lights off and wake up someone different the next day. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So be careful.
And it just goes to show, I mean, like, I guess it does mean that, you know, she ride or die with her. You know, she goes stab this person for, you know, this person because of beef that don't even originate with her. Mm-hmm. But it's just like, you know, she has to understand that regardless of the situation, she is her own person.
Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying? So she has to do things for herself. Like, you can't let anger control her.
Around what year do you think it'll settle for when that message will reach her? About what year? Because she got 99. So
probably I hope about the year 95, because if you just saw that like year one, you ain't got nothing else to do. Like, damn, I got
98 years to kind of figure, you know,
what's like over the jail.
That's what I was, yeah.
Kingpin.
Yeah.
Queenpin. Hey.
She might be kingpin until she got time to do
but
both.
But you know, that just goes to show you that, you know, you cannot let anger control you. Because at some point you can be ride or die, but you, like, you stabbing people, you got some real issues.
Yeah,
I think it's
how many people you don't thought about stabbing? I don't know if I want you to answer that truthfully.
Well, first I ain't gonna lie to you.
Allegedly,
allegedly, there's a list, but you know, that's neither here nor there. We can't discuss that on air. But I mean,
I'm so mad. I can't never see myself getting that mad to where I want to just stab a motherfucker.
You know, if you want to really stab somebody, you really got to be mad, yeah, brother. Because you got to be up close and personal.
Yeah, because
that's damn near what, 1912 days.
My thing is that, not to say if you got a gun that makes anything better, but a gun you can say an accidental discharge. You can kind of play it off, right. But there's no accidental stabbing. Like, you know what I'm saying? That's a very hard one to prove. And for Ms. Mayweather, it's just classic case of someone who comes from means who wants to live like they're on TV. Mm-hmm. And they don't understand that your NBA young boy came from all research, it seems like came from a pretty tough background.
Yeah.
So that's not the first time you've seen someone stab.
Exactly.
Sadly. Maybe the first time you see someone stab in a mansion, but no, it's not the first time you see someone stab.
Yeah.
Yaya Mayweather's been rich. She's been richer than all of us the second she was conceived.
Yeah.
You
get what I'm saying? So
as soon as she came out.
Yeah, as soon as she came out, she has literally been richer than, you know, probably had about 90% of the world's population. So for her to kind of assimilate down to that level, I know he's a celebrity and what have you, that's just a complete lack of control.
Let me ask you this. Do you think it's more of a testament to her upbringing and her lack of
parenting?
Or do you think that's more of a decision thing, like her making a decision thing?
Combo. I mean, Lord already knows what Mayweather does with his kids, because like I said, but from what you read in the stories, he's assaulted women before. He's had a very volatile relationship with seemingly damn near a lot of people, if not everybody in his life at some point. So I don't think you can discount that. But at the same time, you're responsible for your own actions,
right,
especially as an adult. Now you tried as an adult for your own actions.
Right.
Let's say if this had happened when she was 14, 15. She'd still do jail, but there'll be a little bit more because she's, you know, she was younger. But it's like you turn 18, they hold you up. You'd be 18 or 85, they still gonna hold you the same crime.
But you just look at that situation, like, you know, NBA young boy, what if both of them don't know any better? And they just, it's like
the blind leading the blind.
Right.
And I think a lot of times, and I was talking to the old head in the podcast, but I think a lot of times with this generation, even dating back to our generation when we were coming up, probably from kids who was mid to late 80s on up, I think our relationship with death is a lot different because of, I hate to say video games, but kind of what we're exposed to.
Right.
A lot of the video games, a lot of the shows and stuff like that we saw, and you don't quite have that understanding that, you know, a life is lost, meaning they will never come back. And you feel awful for that child who, you know, lost his life or something. So, you know, God only knows what was going on.
But I think a lot of people in our generation, they don't quite understand what it is. There's a bit of a disconnect between death and reality. I don't think it's a mistake. But you see a lot of these school shootings. You see a lot of the type of violence that comes from people, you know, relatively in our age brackets, because they might not. If you're playing certain games, you watch certain shows over and over and over again, you'll think it's another episode.
Yeah,
there's no other episode for the situation. Mm-hmm. It's very sad.
Once
so
you're dead, you're dead.
You're gone, and it's very tragic. And like you say, you just hope that, you know, hopefully it gets straightened out to where all the parties are held accountable and that there is some forgiveness at some point. Yeah. It's a very difficult thing to forgive, and I couldn't imagine, you know, dealing with some type of trauma like that. But, you know, hopefully at some point they can find some peace to kind of move forward with their life. Speaking of talking about, you know, lives and stuff like that, obviously the COVID-19 pandemic is still going on. As three African-Americans, we understand some of the difficulties facing people of color, people, minorities, as they're combating this. It's not just one thing. It's a lot of different layers to it. A lot of us don't have access to certain educational resources or knowledge about what the virus might do. And disproportionately, you're seeing minorities and people of color who have been affected by it and are losing their lives.
Yeah.
So I'm going to ask you, fellas, have you guys had anybody who's directly affected by it, or do you know anybody who, if not directly affected by it, know one or two people connected, you know, away, who might have suffered something from it or kind of have a difficult time dealing with the quarantine, the pandemic, and everything involved with it?
Yeah. I know a couple people have been affected by it. I know we joke and laugh a lot, but it's imperative at this time that you do check on people, because, I mean, we're part of a fraternity and stuff like that, and I know I've spoken to a couple of people who have had deaths due to the COVID,
mm-hmm.
In our chapter, and, you know, I can only imagine, you know what I'm saying, like, you know, prayers out to their family, you know what I'm saying, just, I know we joke around a lot about stuff like, but it's very serious, and at the beginning of this whole pandemic, you know, they were saying that black people were not, like, you know, we weren't getting in and stuff like that, and now it's the total opposite, you know, because of the underlying health conditions that we have, like, mm-hmm. either passed down from generations or just by being in a situation where we don't have the means to work, or we don't have the means for shelter, or we Absolutely. Don't have the means for medication or just stuff like that, you know, and it's affecting us as a people directly, and it's sad to see and it's sad to hear, but at the same time, you know, you have to make sure that you're staying, like, trying to be healthy, you know what I'm saying, reaching out to those people who can't and have those underlying conditions and trying to make sure that they're okay, and just trying to, you know, figure things out, because at this point in time, we're basically on our own with figuring things out.
Yeah, and I do think that is worth mentioning, that I think in the black community, just, you know, going to the doctor and you know, concerning yourself with your health and making that a priority is not been one of the things that has been a priority. And I hate to generalize and speak for the whole black community, but, you mm-hmm. know, I know people, and I've even been guilty of it myself, you know, just, you know, not really putting that as a priority. And I think it's important that, you know, you get to see, like, if you're going to the doctor regularly, and if you're keeping yourself, you know, in good shape, you know, by the things that you put in your body and all the other things that you can do, then, you know, you're less likely to be affected by it. But you can see us as a race, you know, that's something that's just not, you know, there are a lot of other things that we deal with as a race on an everyday basis that nobody else can relate to. And, you know, at some point, you know, you have to choose your mental health over your actual health.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And so it's sad, but I do think that, you know, this is an opportunity for us to, you know, just have a wake-up call and see how serious it is, because, you know, people are losing people in their families.
Mm-hmm.
People are being affected in severe ways. So, you know, it's important that, you know, we talk about this. We've talked about this for the last couple of episodes, because it's real. It's a real thing. Like, it's important that you're eating right, you're hitting a little walk, or just staying active, staying on your feet, getting outside, you know, don't, you know, while still practicing social distancing, but, you know, doing those things that'll give you a better fighting chance to, you know, be a healthier individual.
Yeah.
Mm. Absolutely. I think for another thing that a lot of people of color and African Americans have to deal with is just the social stigma of some of your attire. It's been recommended by the CDC that you wear a mask outside the house. Now, obviously, there's a shortage of masks and things of that nature, so a lot of people have turned to making homemade masks. But for Black people, that is there's a lot of history there. So there was an article on CNN about a week or so ago, kind of saying that why a lot of African Americans have stayed away from making these homemade masks because of some of the implications socially, gang members, things of that nature. You might look like a hoodlum and stuff like that.
Right.
And even this past weekend, I believe there were two gentlemen who were escorted out of Walmart because of their attire.
Yep.
So you have to imagine if, and with, you know, a heavier police presence, but a more alert police presence. Right. If you walk into a store at 8:30 at night, curfew's at 9 o'clock, you have a bandana over your face. And more than likely, you're going to have on some regular attire, like some sweatpants, hoodies, stuff like that.
Yeah.
The wrong person at the wrong time, there's a decent chance you might get caught up in some nonsense.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? You might be judged unfairly just because of your appearance, even though you've been recommended to do this to kind of protect your health and things of that nature. So a lot of anxiety, a lot of depression is kind of built around that, is that you want to obey the laws, you want to kind of be safe and smart, but at the same time, if you do that, it might put you in harm's way if the wrong person isn't quite aware of that.
Right. And it doesn't I'm sorry.
Go ahead. Nah, go ahead, bro.
I was saying, it doesn't matter, you know, what status you are. If you fit the quota, you fit the quota as a Black person. Mm-hmm. You know, and it's sad. So
And I even say on that is that we, you know, all three of us are Alpha, so we've had opportunities to go to different conferences and, you know, basically been around kind of a, I would say a higher, you know, just a different social status that we've had the opportunity to kind of be in that world because, you know, within Greekdom and certain organization, there is a bit of a loftiness to it. But I give you the test now. It's like if I'm wearing a suit and if I was to come out here the next day wearing a hoodie, I'm getting two different reactions.
Exactly.
And you know what I'm saying?
It goes back to the conversation, like we as Black people, the conversation in America, it can be one simple paragraph straight up and down. But as Black Americans, we got to add some cliff notes in that paragraph. Mm-hmm. We got to change it up a little bit. We may have to add a conclusion to it. We may have to add a heading to it. Yeah. You know, everything is not the same for us. We always have to be either extra precautious or work twice as hard or just do that. And it's just been, that's just something that's from birth on, you know what I'm saying, that we're going to have to do. And I mean, you know, I think at some point, we're going to start closing the gap, but I know it's a lot more work that needs to be done. So,
well, I think this is a perfect time to go ahead and ask the question that I have this week for Ask a Black Man.
Mm-hmm.
And that question is, what is the hardest part about being an African-American today?
Well,
what do you think is the hardest part about being a Black man?
Well, I think it's just like I just said, you know, things can be, you can get directions cut plain and simple, but when it comes to being a Black man, you can't follow those directions the same as a white male would or any other race would, because you're going to be looked at differently.
Yeah.
You know, based off the color of your skin, based off the way you dress, based off this. You could want to, I could want to wear hoodies. Hoodies might be my favorite thing to wear.
Yeah.
Or, you know what I'm saying? But I have to recognize that when I go outside at a certain time of day or night, you know, or when I walk into a store, that I'm going to be, I could have a Harvard, I could be, you know what I'm saying?
It doesn't matter.
I could be on the president's cabinet. And if I go out and wear certain attire, or if I'm doing something, or if someone, God forbid, gets afraid of or sees me and thinks that I'm something to be afraid of, then they have the right to gun me down or question me or not allow me from
stop
and frisk or not allow me to come into their establishment. So I think that's probably the hardest thing that I would say, just having to always be on alert or just having to always just think outside of the box when other people are just living freely.
I would say that the hardest thing about being a Black man is, like what you said, is that basically being aware of your surroundings at all time, but also being aware of your personality in these surroundings. A lot of times we said, you know, if you're not familiar with code switching, it's basically adjusting your tone, some of your mannerisms, depending on the area that you're in.
Yeah.
We've all had experience having to work with, you know, different races and being the only minority in the room, being the only Black person, African-American male, especially as we're all three college-educated African-American men. We've had to negotiate a lot of different areas, a lot of different bosses, a lot of different places, just because if you put off a certain type of, you know, attitude or aggression, they would label you as an angry Black man.
Yeah.
If you wear a certain garb, if you wear a hoodie, if you wear athletic gear, they look at you as a hoodlum. And the sad thing is not even just within, you know, dealing with other races. A lot of times within our own community.
Yep.
If you wear certain colors, they're going to think you're in the gang. I have on red shorts right now. And, you know, if I was to go out and walk around some parts of, you know, some communities, some areas.
Yeah.
You automatically a target. You know, they off-rip. They're thinking that, you know, he's not just walking around in casual wear. Right. He's trying to make a statement. Mm-hmm. And that's exhausting. It's exhausting to always be on 10, to always have to be that aware.
Aware and woke.
You know what I'm saying? To be that, just be that on go, because you never quite know what's going on, especially during the pandemic.
Yeah.
You know, there's always going to be an alert on African-American males pretty much in any type of environment. Mm-hmm. But now that, you know, certain things are going on, it's almost endless. So if you walk into a store and if you're acting, you know, they ask you to keep six feet for social distancing. If you act too suspicious or too, they might think you're robbing the store.
Yeah.
If you come at the wrong time, you know what I'm saying? It's just different things of that nature. And being an African-American man in America it's exhausting.
Yeah.
It's absolutely exhausting.
Well, what I would say is I feel like, speaking of endless, you know, just understanding as a black man that, you know, what the foundations of this country and how this country was built and seeing that or knowing that none of that included us and not just a black man, but, you know, minorities in general. It wasn't this country wasn't built or geared foundationally for that. Mm-hmm. So there will always be a staple that you can go back to for, you know, for resentment or whatever you want to call it. Mm-hmm. And so I think as a black man, we have to be ever so ready, like you said, to face the everyday battles. Like, okay, I'm driving a black Impala with some tint on my window, so I might get pulled over tonight, even though I'm going to speed limit, or I'm driving too nice of a car.
Yeah.
It's like you can never win. It's a lose-lose situation. You have to just roll with the punches and make the adjustments as you go.
Mm-hmm.
And like you said, that's extremely exhausting. And, you know, it's sad because it's like, when you think about the fight that you have the fight that it's going to take to get just some little bit, tad bit of normalcy to, like, for us to be like other races or, like, you know, white, like Caucasian Americans, you know, it's just an endless battle. And who knows when that'll be over with. So,
I would not prepare for an end date anytime soon, just because of just the history of this country. But
I need just a scunch more freedom.
you know, it's like just a smidge more freedom, and you know, something that could help that freedom is about $1,200. So
I was gonna say,
just a scunch more freedom.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Just a dab of freedom. You know what I'm saying? So as you are aware, you might not be aware, is that we have. American citizens are receiving a $1,200 stimulus check within the next couple of weeks. It could be months, depending on, you know, different financial situations, just to help the economy. The economy is taking a beating because obviously people have been laid off. Hours have been adjusting. Basically, the country's been shut down for, it seems like it's going on about a month by now, 3 to 4 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And today we've actually heard that some of those first wave of checks have started to go out. So people are starting to get that stimulus package, that $1,200 check. Into their account. So if I have to ask you fellas, what is the number one thing that you're going to do with, I'll give you a top three, a quick top three. What would you do with your, once your check comes in? Do you have a top three or is it just one and done?
I've been saying for a while now, I've wanted a game system. I grew up on Xbox. And so I think my number one thing is just basically save most of it and get me an Xbox. I feel like Xbox is something that will be more beneficial than not to me, seeing that, you know, even now we're stuck in the house, it gives me every more reason to play it in my free time so that I can stay out of trouble. But even when this is all clear, to give me another avenue to do something without, you know, maybe drinking or going out and, you know, doing who knows what. So, you know, I think Xbox is definitely on my list.
For me, I want to put it in. I started getting into stocks and stuff like that, so I'm probably trying to flip my money and use at least a quarter, if not half, to put back into the market. The rest, I'm gonna, you know, save up for things I've been trying to, like, I got a lot of things to do when I get off of this, so I'm gonna try to, you know, save my money or save that little money they give us. And hell, if they want some of it back, because I probably do owe.
You ain't gotta send it, just keep that.
Bro,
yeah.
You do your math and send me the rest.
And, just keep that.
We'll scratch that off the board. And if I had a save for mine, I would kind of treat it similar to income refund. I would take out a small portion, so probably I'll take about $200 and just go treat myself to something. And after that, savings and bills. Yeah. I'd break it down, just start paying off bills and stuff. Just like I said, I know that student loan payments, I believe they completely take off interest for the next period of time. So I think you'd be paying on the principal. So that's one thing. Actually, I'm not even going to say that because I plan on getting my doctorate. I'm in school right now for my master's. So I'm going to be broke as hell when I get done anyway. So I ain't going to do shit. So.
Somebody
gonna
pass the bill.
That's why I'm be a career student until someone passed. You know, that's how I probably give me 3 master doctorate by then. But I'm going. Yeah, I will. Shout out to Biden. Semi shout out to Biden. I'll probably commit just to savings and bills. I will take out a small portion just to, you know, maybe buy something that, you know, just a small. Personal, there's a fly that is annoying the fuck out of us right now. So
yeah, motherfucker want to get on the podcast. Yeah, I don't know if y'all heard.
Yeah, there's a lot of shuffling going on. We're trying to kill this this insect. And
he's resilient.
Yeah, I think he's COVID strong. But I would dedicate a lot of it just to paying bills and honestly putting my savings. Like I'll take a small portion out just to kind of buy me something because you know everybody kind of you want to get one little thing. But outside of that. The rest of that $1,000 is straight bills. And,
we've come a long way since them refund checks, dog.
Yeah, in college, bro, you get a refund on the worst thing was get a refund on Thursday during the day because
oh my god,
you knew the club was gonna be open Thursday
you
night.
Like
boy, you covered that thing like
you
a
covering that cash money taking boy. Over for the 99 and the 2000. You know that Benz that looked like it got bubbleized. I'm
sitting on Dubs. You know what I'm saying? The Xbox, the 360, I got it sitting on Dubs.
Nice, boy. So they better be glad that everything is shut down, though, because if people, more specifically, my people, mm-hmm. if we were all to get this and it was any ounce of freedom.
Oh, L Bar be shut down.
You know what?
I'll buy L Bar.
You know what the perimeter would look like right now?
Oh,
it's probably still going to look like something.
If you had $1,200 at Stop the Cab Mall, bro, you could buy a rainbow. You have every color of the outfit. You have shit they even bought out yet. I mean.
So you think people are satisfied with the $1,200 payout?
I think. If you are not educated, you are satisfied with $1,200 payout. But if you look at neighboring countries, like I believe Canada's getting $2,000 a month.
Yeah.
I think certain bills are being suspended for the duration of this. So the thing is, I personally feel like, you know, this is going to kind of sound off topic because, you know, I think Donald Trump's an awful president. I think he's one of the worst people. I actually think he's one of the worst people that could have even climbed up into the American society. But the one thing I do kind of understand is that they do have to reopen the economy at some point because a $1,200 check is not going to go very far at all.
Yeah.
And it will more than likely have been spent up within 2 weeks of you getting that check. So unless, of course, you are adequately prepared to do a second stimulus wave or suspend bills and certain things for an extended period of time so people can really social distance without being concerned about bills and stuff like that, you're going to give us more money. So if this is pretty much it, at that point, I'm like, pick a date, we're going to restart the country then. And if you get sick, cross your fingers, you know, stay your ass at home. But I mean, it's just, I think America has dealt with this probably the worst of any country in the world. And you look at some of these other stimulus packages, you hear countries paying 80% of salaries.
Yeah.
Other places getting like, you know, like I said, Canada's getting $2,000, you know, stuff like that to where you can maintain a certain lifestyle. A $1,200 check really is either about a month of bills or you maybe got one or two purchases outside. But basically, that $1,200 is going to be gone within a month.
It ain't enough, but we'll take it. You know what I'm saying?
I want my 40 acres, but I'll take the 12 for right now.
It's just numbers, though. Like, you know what I'm saying? It ain't like, you know, you wake up and you see $1,200. You see $1,200 in your account. You ain't got no physical money. Yeah. But you know what I'm saying? At this point, it's numbers. So I guess it's a numbers game. We'll see how it plays out. Hopefully, Donald Trump ain't the president.
Well, like you said, we're coming into, you know, this is an election year, so he wants to definitely make sure it's a robust economy. He wants to make sure everything that is going to, he kind of can highlight in office, he wants to make sure that's going. So I do, personally, I believe that I think they will reopen the country at least by Memorial Day. Ain't no way in hell they're gonna open up within next week. But May 1st is still ambitious. But I do believe by Memorial Day they're gonna try to reopen it. You know, just so he'll have something going behind him as they head to election season, because nobody wants to coming off of one of the off of recession. Yeah. So I think for his political ambition, he's going to reopen the country. Whether or not it's the smart thing to do, he hasn't done anything smart in 4 years. So I mean, why start now? So we'll see what happens. Like I said, but. Please be wise with your check. Like I said, it is a one-time stimulus check. So if you do have any major bills, or if you have any type of personal ambition or goals or things of that nature that you were whining about money financially, take advantage of this, because if you're blessed enough to not have to use it for any necessary bills right now, definitely make sure you put it towards a dream or a good cause or something that you're working towards. So, but I think we're getting to the part of the podcast where we can start to wrap this up. And, you know, we do try to leave on a pretty good message. So, I'll pass the ball to Strizzy. I'll let him go ahead and break down his final thought.
Well, I guess my message this week will be plant that seed this week. Whatever it is that you've been scared to do or you ain't had enough time to do, go ahead and give it a try this week. It's okay. You know, you have time. You have, you know, you have everything that you need to get started. Sometimes the hardest thing is to get started. So, you know, don't be scared to do it. You know, exercise your faith. You know, whatever you believe in, you know, stand as a solid person and, you know, just get it done. Plant those seeds. And, you know, you never know when you'll get to see the results of those things. Mm-hmm. Just make sure you keep on working at it daily and, you know, reap those benefits.
Yeah. For me, I want to say check in on your friends, check in on your family. Absolutely. You know, in these times, we really living in a time of uncertainty. So, you know, just do your best to check in with your friends. You know what I'm saying? Who knows that 5, 10, 15 minute call, what they can do for a person, especially when, you know, we're going in, everybody's at home or, you know, self-quarantine and stuff like that. You know, that could help their mental out a lot. So, you know, reach out to your friends and family and, you know, try to stay healthy.
Absolutely. And this is birthday week for a lot of people, especially in our circle. So around my birthday, I get a lot, you know, I get really reflective. I kind of look over just the past year, just my life in general and stuff like that. And I'm very thankful to see another birthday. One thing I would just say is just don't be afraid to be yourself. Block out the noise. I think a lot of people, they look towards applause. They look towards an audience. They're looking for approval from certain people who don't necessarily have that much stake in their life. A personal rule of thumb is if you're not paying my bills, if I ain't trying to have sex with you, if we ain't had sex, if I ain't trying to date you, there really ain't but so many voice, you know, opinion that I can take from. So that's not to be disrespectful to other people, but it's just like, if you ain't paying the damn bill in this motherfucker, if you're not, you know, significant other, straight up, you know what I'm saying? You just a nigga in the bleachers. So, you know, don't let that person might be who's in the bleachers or who's distant or far away. Don't let that person dissuade you from doing something, because they're just noise. Even if it's, a lot of times it might be from your family. Yeah. A lot of times people that you care about, they might say X, Y, and Z, but they have no personal stake in your day-to-day. You know what I'm saying? So don't give them but so much credence. And that's probably the biggest thing I've learned in the past year, is just that when you're going after a goal, even if it seems like you're the only person rooting yourself on, as long as you rooting yourself on, that's all the damn matters. And it's kind of like what Stroud says, like, you know, push yourself to – you know, go after your dream or whatever it is. Even if, like I said, you don't get a whole lot of support, even if it's very quiet for you, at the same time, if you can applaud yourself, that's the last applause in the room.
Even if you don't get the type of support that you give to people.
Yeah.
Sometimes that's a complex that you have to deal with. You have to be okay with that.
You have to understand. You have to, you can't, don't tie your moral, you know, standing to what other people do a lot of times, because if you do that, you're going to always be, a lot of times you'll be in a very envious state. Yep. Even if you show a lot of people some love and they don't quite reciprocate it, it's okay. You know what I'm saying? You got to make peace with that. So I'll just definitely challenge you, especially during this time, is to really learn yourself. You have a lot of time just to kind of, you know, put down the OnlyFans and the Xbox, but just really kind of take advantage of this time just to really kind of be alone by yourself. And a lot of people are scared to do that, and that's why they don't know themselves. Learn who you are. Learn who you are at this point of your life. Reflect on your journey, and just go for it. Like I said, even if no one else is applauding, as long as you're applauding for yourself, that's all that really matters.
Yes, sir.
That will wrap up this episode. Once again, this is DJ Motherfucker, also known as Chuck Delman, also known as Fresh, Invictus, Sky,
all that.
Joshy. There's a billion. I have a lot of monikers I go by. Just depending on the day and the people I'm around. So, but I'm also known as Josh by the legal government. So it's nice talking with y'all, and y'all be safe now.
We out. Cheers.
Yes, sir.